car in Missouri.
Okay. Well, I got this thing going. We're going to get started. The two pick stouts. When my two pick comes out, you know, it's time to...
I'm going to give you a sign.
Time to get serious. So we turn our cell phones off, our brains on, and our hearts open. And we're at a Faith Bible Church on the Thursday night service. And we're teaching, again, a series on ministry of the Holy Spirit and in the believer and to the believer in the dispensation of grace. Tonight we're going to be dealing with, and I'm looking real forward to this, the ministry of expressing Christ's life in us and out of us. So we're going to get, I'm going to mention some too from, I was just reading while I was waiting for Myrtle to open the church. Bone of His Bones, that's I think Hugo or something's his name, but he was mentioning that the Christian life is not, like you've heard of that book, The Imitation of Christ. And he said, they said many good things in that book, but the Christian life isn't the imitation of Christ, it's the participation of the life of Christ. See, otherwise, trying to imitate Christ, we're trying to do in our own strength and our own talents and our own abilities to be, like, remember the bracelet? What would Jesus do?
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of things that, you know, their goal is good, to be like Christ. But the problem is the way they go about it. It's not us producing a life that's the imitation of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit in us producing the, because now we have our God's Spirit and resurrection life, the resurrected Christ in us, and He's expressing Himself out of us. It's participation. It's Him doing it through us. And that's why it's so important to rightly divide the Word so we don't get under law. Because it says, walk in the Spirit, right? And the Spirit never leads us under law. If you're in the Spirit, you're not under law, talks about. So we're going to look at this, and I'm kind of excited because I've just been dwelling on it. And it's really refreshing and a relief that it's not my responsibility to try and produce fruit in my life. That's a very... depressing, and it causes spiritual burnout. You trying to produce the Christian life. Remember Paul said, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. You know, you say, you know, what do you mean? You ain't living. Paul learned something. Remember he came to the point in Romans chapter 7, he talked about what I want to do, I don't do, what I don't want to do, you know, I do. And he's having a struggle. He said, you know, inwardly, you know, he loved God's law. He wanted to do the right things. But he found something, a wretched man that I am. That's, you get spiritually burnt out. And a believer, and what happens, they become fake. You come to church, and you think everybody else got it together, but you know you don't. So when they ask you, how's everything going, brother or sister, you know, hey, praise the Lord, everything's good. But you just came and you slapped your kid in the car, argued with the wife, you know, swore at about three guys who was pulling in front of you, and then you come in and you feel like a fake, you know, and it causes spiritual burnout. And you think, a lot of people say this Christian life don't work. See, but one, you know, when you come to the end of yourself, that's what I'm hoping, that through these studies, we won't rely upon ourselves. But we will realize what we have in Christ, so all them spiritual blessings, and learn to walk in that, walk in tune with the Spirit, walk, keep in step with the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, God's way, as the Spirit works in us in the dispensation of grace. But I'll tell you, when a person comes to that point of, God, I'm sick of trying, I can't do it, they're spiritually burnt out. And it... I was hearing some earlier too. You know, I love listening to tapes and CDs of great grace teachers that understand life in Christ, a right division, God's grace. And what he was talking about was, if you look in the Old Testament, and it talks about a bruised reed. I can't think off. I didn't write it down. the idea he won't throw away are a wick, and maybe next week I'll write it down. But the idea is, usually you would throw these things away. The Bruce Reed was, it's all over in land Israel in the water, and the kids will make a flute out of it. You know, it's hollowed out, and but you had to watch because they're kind of fragile. So if they crack, they just throw it away. Or the wife with she was responsible to keep oil. There'd be a wick in this oil, and if that oil ran out, it would be a terrible stench, very embarrassing and shameful for them. Well, she'd hurry up and throw it out. Well, the idea is, those who are burnt out and come to that point, I'm just ready to give up, they're just beat up, you know, in their spiritual lives, and Christ don't get rid of you. And that's a good point. When you come to that point, I can't, Lord. He's going, you're ready now. It's a terrible time in your life because you're just like devastated. You know, because you know why? Your pride said I could. And now my pride is just slapped around and knocked down. But it's a wonderful place to be. I remember myself. I said, Lord, I'm sick of trying. If I'm going to live this Christian life, you're going to have to do it. And I was getting the idea, and that was the beginning of my grace journey with God. So that's what I'm hoping, that through these studies we'll really see what we have in Christ and appropriate by faith and the details of our life through the Word of God. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 to 6. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2-6. I'll start in verse 1, just for a little context. Paul is having to defend his apostleship. You have false teachers coming in and claiming all this power and attacking him. And you'll find that as you teach right division and the grace of God, you're going to have people calling you a heretic and, you know, you're crazy. One lady on Facebook told me that because she was teaching Paul's our apostle, you know, she's teaching right division, where we get our instructions, you know, under grace. And they said, or no, it was a guy actually, because I hear different stories. When you stand for grace, you'll get attacked. He said that a guy told him, oh, your faith is built on a man-made religion. And I said, that's really funny, because that's what most of the traditional denominations are. You know, I don't care if you want to go to Wesley, Methodism was built on John Wesley, Lutheranism, on Martin Luther, and go on and on and on, you know. When you learn to rightly divide the Word and grasp God's grace, it's because you went to the Word of God, because it goes against the tradition in the church, you know. But anyway, so if you're going to teach the grace of God, you're going to get persecuted, you know. Like, one lady on Facebook, I call her the Grace Warrior Princess. She's just always on fire. She was down a little bit for a while, so I kept praying for her. It was nice to see her back with that fire. You know, we get beat up. Satan don't want you out there sharing God's grace, so you're going to get, bam, attacked, you know. But everything he does, see, when you get to that point, you get weak, right? Just like Paul. We'll get to them verses later. In my weakness, Christ's power is made manifest, you know. And I forgot what I was going with her, but anyway. So Paul's defending his apostleship here. Do we, again, in verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? I mean, Paul built this church. He led them to the Lord. You know what I mean? And now people are attacking Paul, these big shots, you know, the touch not God's anointed crowd. And listen, look at Paul, his tender heart. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts. So Paul had a love letter in his heart for them, known and read by all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. So epistle is what? A letter of Christ. Ministered by us. So Paul's saying, served by us. And they were a what? A letter of Christ. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. So he was saying, you're a letter. People read it. He's talking to, he's writing to believers. And it's not ministered by ink, right? Like a cold ink, or like the law, it was cold stone. It said, do this and live. Don't do that. And it commanded and it told you what to do, but it didn't empower you to do it. It was motivated by fear, where grace is motivated by what? Love and thanksgiving and gratitude. And what grace, what Paul, he said, I give you the commands of Christ, that if anyone thinks himself spiritual, a prophet or spiritual, let him, I'm getting the words wrong, but recognize that he has the commands of Christ. So we go to Paul's epistles to find out today what are the commands of Christ. And so, them commands that Christ calls us to, we can never do them either in our own strength. But Christ, but Paul, what? Again, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, right? The life I live in this flesh or this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for us. So we can live the Christian life, but it's not from our own resources. It's from him and his resources. Like I mentioned, just because you just came in, I was quoting, I think, John Ugel in Bone of His Bones, and he said, the Christian life is not an imitation of Christ. Sounds real good. It's participation of Christ. See, remember the vine? Even though he's this is a transdispensational principle. You know, you got to learn. You go to Paul's epistles, learn everything what God's doing today. What his promises are to us. What his what's permissible, what isn't permissible. You know, that's where we get our marching orders. Once you know that and grasp it well, then you can go to other parts in the Bible and you can say, can I apply this? Or can I apply it at all? You know, even though it's not written to us, all Scripture is what? Written for our learning. So what you do, you learn what God's doing today, and then you can go back there and see, is that a principle through the whole of God's Word? Where Christ said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know. Now you go to Paul's epistles, right? And think about that. What did he say? We were a wild branch grafted in, right? Into Christ. Where Israel temporarily has been cut out, but we've been grafted in. And so the life comes through the vine, and what happens? It goes through the branches, and what happens? Fruit's produced, right? No branch sits there, like you're constipated or something, you know? I'm going to produce fruit, because that's what we do. And then you look like to people, they see you, and you look like this tense, self-righteous, the best you can become is a Pharisee. But he says, if you abide in me, my word abides in you, right? Much fruit will be produced. Apart from me, you can do none. And as we see, that's how Christ lived his humanity and how the Father expressed himself through Christ. So he says in verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle or letter of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in fleshly tablets of the heart. And such trust have we towards Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but here's Paul's always his message. But our sufficiency is of God. Anything we can do that what did Christ say? In my weakness, in our weakness, your weakness, my power is made manifest, my grace is sufficient. You know, anything we go through, God's grace is sufficient. You know, you know what I want to do? I did. Shame on me. I want to open up in prayer. So that was all commercial leading into the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, and we just praise you, Father, and we lift up our hearts to you, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. Oh, Lord, how you blessed us with every spiritual blessing completely undeserved. When we were dead in our sins and non-circumcision of our sinful nature, you made us alive, Lord. We're alive, spiritually alive. We were dead. And we were chasing everything to fill that emptiness. And you, by your Spirit and through your Word, and you put on somebody's heart to share with us, Lord. Thank you for that. Help us to see this life we have in Christ, Lord. Help us to see the source and of the fruit of your Holy Spirit producing that in us. May your Holy Spirit illumine our mind. Help us to grasp, Lord, so we'll want to serve you so much that every moment, Lord, that we just want to serve you out of gratitude and dependence on you. And may Christ be lifted up here, Father. May we know your Holy Spirit, for He is God. And if we don't know Him, we don't truly know you, Father, or your Son. So may your Holy Spirit be the teacher here tonight, Lord. May you just move in our hearts and open up our eyes. If there's that veil of the law still, the legalism, may it be taken away so we can behold Christ and that we can just be transformed day by day, minute by minute, into His image. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay. Never want to forget to pray. I mean, I prayed for the study, but I like to do it before. And before I forget, I was going to ask Joanna, and do you sing? Not today, but do you sing? You got a decent voice? I was going to say, I would like us to do maybe in the beginning one song. So if you guys want to be like involved with that or whatever, to either lead with us or to do it. Because I think of, I was telling our sister that I think of when Paul talked about being filled with the Spirit, you know, where it's talking about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'd like to just praise God in that way, and I think it encourages one another. So if you want, I throw too much at you, but I'd appreciate if you want to. If you don't, you know, it's okay. But I can't sing, or I would. I thought of a song on the way up here. I'll give you a little bit of taste, so you appreciate them. We used to sing it. At this one senior's home I minister at. I love the thrill. I won't sing it. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. It's a thrill just to see those happy faces praising God in heavenly places and on and on. So if you'd want to, you know, I you ladies, I'd appreciate it. And you'll keep them from hearing me. That's how you blackmail somebody. If you don't do it, I'll sing. Well, they told me don't quit my day job. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 2:14. So we're right by there. You know, Paul's our pattern, right? Even in our prayers and attitudes, and he gives us our instructions. Paul is always thankful to God. This is a dude who was in jail most of the time. You know, he wasn't doing anything bad. What would we do? Lord, I've just been sharing with people. They've been making fun of us. Me and my family's making fun of me. And, you know, they're calling me Jesus freak. And we're, you know, we're complaining. God, I've been serving you. And now I'm sick. And, you know, this, you know, I got my bills paid or whatever. Paul's always thanking God, man. He's got that attitude. And that should be ours. And because of grace, we will always thank God. You know, my job I have, I'm thankful to have a job now. I don't particularly like it, but I'm thanking Him all day long. And I'm singing praises to Him. And I even got earplugs, so I'm probably singing louder than I think. Anyway, so we're at 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always, how much?
Always
causes us to triumph in Christ. You say, what do you mean? You don't know what I'm going through. Always. God works all things. How many? All things. That's how you live by faith and not by sight. And that's how you thank Him in the midst of it. Lord, You're working this for my good. You lead me in triumph in Christ. And He says, and maketh manifest the Savior, it means fragrance, pronounce it for me. The Savior, right? Like a flavor anyway. Of His knowledge by us in every place. So, God in us, remember, we were created to be containers of God, containers of love. And as we allow Him, as we stay focused on Christ, as we're growing in grace and applying the Word of God to our lives and staying in dependence, there's a beautiful fragrance that goes out. But some people don't like the fragrance. You know why? Because they don't like God. So don't take it personally if they don't like you because you share with them. But sometimes it's because of us they don't like us. We can be rude, you know. Sometimes people like to be around a joyous person, a loving person, you know. They might not like to hear some things you might share with them. And some people just stinks, you know why? Because they hate God and they want nothing to do with God. And we remind them of God because God's expressing Himself to us. So then let's look at chapter 3, 17, 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What's liberty mean? Freedom. There is freedom, you know. People go, you know, later on in my life, I want to get into the Lord because I want to, you know, my freedom for a while. They're not free. You know what they're bound to? Their flesh. You know, I'm thinking of this young guy. Actually, today was weird. I was praying for him as I'm working because he was like on a work release program where he goes to jail. He is for half a joint, you know, one none bad. But you could tell he gets into things. I like him. You know, he's kind of a fun young guy. But I'm praying for him about his salvation because I share with him. Because when they know you're a Christian, sometimes they ask you questions. And he goes, what about the 666? You know, they all like hearing about that stuff, you know. And I shared about salvation, you know. And this other young guy that I'm starting to give karate lessons to. So you're sharing, then I was praying for him about salvation, and a few minutes later, I look over at him, and he's like, whoa, did you see that? His shirt, he wears them pants down, you know, hanging down and stuff, you know, and big baggy shirt, and the one lady, there's a lot of people don't speak real good English there, she goes, I told my son, if he wears them pants, I'm pulling them all the way down in front of all of his friends, and he goes, no, Mom, you know. But anyway, he got a shirt, and it was going into the machine. And he had to like step on this thing and try and get his shirt out, you know. And I told him, I go, well, that's weird, because I was just praying for you, you know, a couple minutes ago. So God, you know, puts people on our hearts. Where was that? 3:17-18. Anyway, I was talking about there's freedom. It's not... People are bound. That young guy, I was thinking about it, he's bound by his sin nature. And he might end up doing some real time. You know, because he tells me some things he'll like get into. You know, they're not real bad things yet. But he don't even know his sin nature is controlling him. You know. And then you have Satan that works through the flesh. And what's it say? It talks about it in Ephesians where we're under the power, the prince of the power of the air. You know. That works in sons of disobedience. And so a lot of time why people don't want to come to Christ, because they see legalistic believers. And you know, Malcolm Smith, he got stuck because it was a rainy day at summer camp with a bunch of youth. Nobody wanted to deal with them, right? And so he says he's going to do something different be a little creative. So he asked them, what is a Christian? You know what they came up with? And let me say first, before I tell you what they came up with, a couple of elders and big shots of the church were there going, agreeing with them. It was, you can't drink, you can't smoke, you gotta have dresses down your ankles and up above your chin, you have to go to church, you gotta read the Bible, you can't go to the shows, blah. It was all what you can do. And that's what these kids were being brought up, and you wonder why when a kid gets 18, he's out the door and he's wild. He was such a nice Christian kid, what happened to him? No. That's what they're taught. See? It's not what you can't do. We won't do things because you know why? Paul says, I won't do anything come under its power. Or if it doesn't glorify God, or if it doesn't build up or edify, if it's not good for my family, I'm not going to do certain things. You know why? Because I don't want to. I'm free. I don't have to go out and do drugs like I did when I was younger, or go picking up women and all this. I'm free from that. I don't have to. And I'm free what? To serve God, to really experience life and a journey that has wonder, because only Christ can fill our hearts with that wonder. Because the older you get, people, they get wonder in things, right? And then pretty soon, it ain't good enough. And then I got to do something else. And that doesn't fulfill me. And I got to do something else. And I get controlled by it. Christ is only big enough. And we have freedom to what? Serve. It's not freedom. I mean, you can use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. But Paul says don't. He said don't use it as a beachhead. Kirk, would you say? I think we're going to that verse later on. But the idea is a beachhead. Where you keep like in a war, you're holding your beachhead because the flesh will try and keep them areas in our life, held. And so we've been given freedom. Now the Lord is that Spirit, verse 17, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we have freedom because the Spirit of the Lord is in us. And listen to this. Remember this. Whatever beholding is becoming. So think about that. Beholding. Now, before I read the verse, the word beholding's in there. Think of what beholding means. It's like hold, right? Hold it. It's not just glance. Glance at Christ here and there. No. Behold. It's like you're focused. If I tell you, behold something up, listen up, focus, And so this is keep our hold. That's the whole Christian life, staying focused on Christ. Adjustment to the Holy Spirit, Kirk, would you say? That's the only problem is adjustment to the Holy Spirit. And so in verse 18 it says, but we all, so every believer, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the idea is, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So who's changing us? Who's transforming us? Spirit of the Lord, right? And what's He always pointing us to? Behold. Behold Christ. Behold your Savior. Behold your life. Behold the one who took you from out of death and made you alive, and now He's indwelling you. Behold who you are, your oneness in Christ. We're so close with Him, we're seated in the heavenlies. Do you know that? We were talking about earlier, we're not under Satan. We don't got to fear Satan. We got to be wise to his wiles and his schemes. And we'll do that through the Scriptures, right? But we don't got to be afraid of Him. We don't got to anoint our car with oil, instead of putting it in. You put it on the car, or windows. I know people who did that at church I used to go to. Or binding Satan. You don't see Paul telling us to do that. Satan can only work through our flesh. And if you reckon yourself dead to sin, like God said, you died with Christ, you were buried, you rose. See, He died your death. He died my death. So we went into the grave. We died. who we were in Adam. Now we're free from the flesh, right? And we rose to newness of life. Now you have Christ in us. Every day is a resurrection day. We should celebrate, not Easter, every day, because it's resurrection life in us, living in us, and like I said, we're containers of God. And Christ expressing His life out of us as what? We behold Him. Keep our eyes on Him. And that's the hardest thing when you're going through things, right? Sometimes, even successes. When I owned my business, I was less focused on Christ than I was when I was struggling, you know? And what's wonderful, I was thinking about it, and one of the worst times in my life, I've had some other ones, like going through depression for a long time, where I just wanted to die and felt like I was in a black pit and there was no hope. And God brought me out of that. No psychiatrist, no drugs, you know. He changed my thinking. And I started getting thankful instead of self-pity, you know. And we'll go to the next verse. Sorry. I don't want to stay too long on that. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Oh, I know what I was going to say. During that time with me and Mary, when I lost my business, I lost the building of my business, we're going into foreclosure. Mary's got polyps. Precancerous cells. I had some things with me, and I was actually like in pain all the time. And in the midst of all that, I felt so weak. And when I stayed focused on the Lord, I was at peace. Things didn't change. But when I got focused on the problems, then I got stressed, and stress causes other problems. Because you know what? But in the midst of that, I wrote a book. Praise God. It started out being written to my wife just like a poem, sort of a little story, and it kept going and going, and it's the Christian life, God's way versus man's way. And so out of a lot of times, all the time when we go through things, sometimes God uses us and does things in us in this fantastic way, and with the God of all mercy and comfort that comforts us and all of our troubles or tribulations, that we might be able to comfort others. So it gives you compassion. So see, God's life in you, Christ in you, and strength in you, and in my weakness, Christ's powers may manifest. Now Christ expressing Himself to others, where they're falling down, you help pick them up and encourage them. You can tell them with conviction, Christ, you can do all things through Christ. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm telling you because I know I went through it. So don't, you know, because some people can just kind of shine you off like you don't understand. Oh, yeah. I you know what it says? Tribulations produces perseverance, endurance, and character, or some experience. So when you got experience, you're able to help other people. And if that's our desire, then, you know, we go to school. That's a discipline. God doesn't bring it on us. What He does, He trains us in the midst of it to live as overcomers. So 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. And I'm in 1 Corinthians. I did say 2, right?
Yeah.
Everybody got it? I was just waiting for you. No. 12, 7 to 10. Okay. And this is Paul. He's talking about his struggle with something physical. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Now, what's Paul talking about? All them revelations about the mystery, the secret that was kept secret since time began, right? But now revealed to the Apostle Paul, Christ gives him all these revelations, then our instructions, our identity, everything what Christ is doing, the dispensation of grace. And so Paul was taken to the third heaven. Imagine? That's probably some pretty good encouragement to keep going, huh? Would that encourage you after you've seen that? You say, yeah, but I ain't been there. But Paul has told you many things about it. And he said, unless I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. So Whether that means Paul would be prideful or other people will exalt you, won't they? You see him on TV, almost like worshiping whoever it is, that pastor of the church, or who, the anointed one. And so, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this things I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. Listen to this, because this is the same for us. This is a principle in the dispensation of grace. And he said of me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So what is weakness? You're needy, right? You're weak. You're not strong. Now when we think we can do, we're going to be committed, Lord, to do everything I know I'm supposed to do and do this and do that and do all these ministries, blah, blah, blah. We're feeling pretty strong. And we got to come to the end of that. And then what happens? My strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. Then Paul's just, man, I respect him so much, you know. So instead of keep whining, right, he accepted and he wanted something more than what he wanted before. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? Is Paul nuts? I'm just going to glory in all my troubles, fantasy, my pain, and, you know, my kids are on drugs, and isn't it wonderful? I'm glory, right? No. There's a reason that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Now, Paul didn't really enjoy going through hard times, but what gave him the pleasure? I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For why? For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Paul, over and over his epistles, a thousand different ways, he tells us that it's in our weakness Christ's power is made manifest. As we're dependent on Christ, he can do some wonderful things more than we could have what? Abundantly above all we can ask or anything you can imagine. He can. Steve, did you ever think a couple years ago you'd be preaching here and there, you know, preaching at church? Years back, some people didn't even believe I was a Christian, I don't think. I remember my sister, she goes, I wonder if Paul will ever get it together. Because I was under legalistic teaching and I was committed and I would do good for 3 months, you know, and then something happened, I go back to partying, and then, you know, a believer can do things. You know, you say, oh, they can't be a Christian. I was. But see, the Holy Spirit, we're sealed until day redemption, until we get new bodies. And when I went out there and wasn't acting like, see, there's a difference of your identity or your position and your walk. See, in our walk, why do you think Paul's got to tell the Corinthians about not going and doing sexual things or suing their brothers or sisters, or the Galatians where they, you can devour each other if you keep biting each other, you know? Because believers can. But even as I did that, God knew where I was at. He knew, especially the teaching, the legalistic teaching I was under, that produced fleshy things, because I was trying in my own strength to do things and my strength would come to an end. And that's where he allowed me to get to where I was talking about earlier. Lord, I'm sick of trying. If this is going to get done, you're going to have to do it. And he did it. And from what years back, I think, when I was in that deep depression and thinking there's no hope, because that's what depression is. You ain't got no more hope, you know. And what God's did, I mean, open up doors. I was a pastor a couple of years just to be able to be teaching here on Thursday nights or church or going to Springfield or the rehab or just different things. How God will use us if we'll grow, if we'll depend on Him. And then, who am I going to give the glory to? Because I know what I'm capable of. See, what does Galatians say? if someone's overtaken in a sin. Now that idea, sometimes it's caught. That Greek word can mean, it's the same thing, but it has different meaning. It means his foot's caught like in a trap. Or you caught him. And it said, you who are spiritual, go and restore such person, but watch lest you fall. Right? That means you can too. So don't get huffy and puffy that I can't do that because that Christian and be self-righteous, you know. Because the moment I think somebody starts getting like that, they're ready for a fall themselves. I remember a Bible study I was involved in, and I forgot, this dude told me about something, and I thought, he had been living as a bum on the street in a box. And praise God, he miraculously saved this guy. And now, he was, I think, determined on his own out of gratitude what God had did, but he was kind of puffed up. And he was like judging me. And I'm like, I'll take that into consideration, brother. I'm like, but you know what happened? I bet you 1 month later, he fell back into drinking, and that was his downfall. You know? And that was actually real good for him, because he got real humble real quick, you know. Sometime a fall will do that for you, you know. Not that we need, if we'll apply the word of God, we don't need to fall to get that kind of humility. We'll just realize it, we were never worthy. Worthy is the lamb, not the sheep, right? And that if not for the grace of God, where would I be? So when we see a brother, sister, we'll reach out to them, not like with the self-righteous pharisaical attitude. And to realize it's Christ in us. And where Paul says at the end of verse 10, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So when he realizes his dependence, he's strong in the Lord. See, it's Christ living and expressing himself out of Paul. Let's go to Galatians 5:22. Next book over. So who's going to produce? Remember, we were made to be containers of love. God is love, right? You know, we weren't built. You know why we get sick a lot of times? We kind of talked about that earlier. Because we fear. But what do you do with fear? Perfect love casts out fear. God's perfect love, as your mind is filled with that, and understand grace, and understand that we're not appointed to wrath, whether it be that 7-year tribulation of wrath, or any of God's wrath. God's wrath was poured on Christ. We don't have to fear when we go through things. We don't have to fear because what? God's working it all for our good, right? So, when we were, our bodies even were created to be expressions of love. We're created, and that's what we're supposed to be, containers of God. And He wants to express His love. When we have unforgiveness, when we have hate, malice, when we have fear, our bodies ain't, our stress, our bodies weren't created. And what happens? Your bodies get beat down, and that you end up getting sick and different things, you know. But when we're walking in spirit, what happens? God expresses His love out of us. And there's this joy, and there's, you know, depression, they say there's a chemical imbalance, right? Well, when I'm angry, my chemicals get unbalanced. So they can give me a pill to balance the chemicals, but it don't get to the root of my anger. And anger is a secondary response to fear. I get afraid and I get angry. I'll give you an example. And the reason is, I'm fearful because I can't control this situation. When you lose your child someplace, your mom, you ever lose your child? One time, I was a big brother to this kid, Michael, and then I would take him out every Saturday, and then his two brothers want to go, so what are you going to say? So I got three kids, what do you do with them? I'm not good in thinking of activities. So I take them to flea market, you know, I take them to Chuck E. Cheese. I don't know what to do, but I was available. And anyway, we went to the flea market, and I'm looking at something, and I said, you know, keep an eye on, can't think of his name offhand, the little guy. And I turn around, where's he at? I don't know. We're running through I'm scared to death, right? And all of a sudden you hear on loudspeaker, Uncle Paul, can you come to the concession stand? Mario's waiting for you. And so I go there. You know what I did? I said, come here. I bought some handcuffs and I cuffed him to his brother. I go, I'm not letting this happen again. But I was afraid, as soon as you see him, what do you want to do? Kill him. See, it's a secondary reaction. Ow! You do that to me again, you're punished for 10 years, till you're 18. You know, you're not dating anybody. There's your excuse not to let them date, right? But we're again, God wants to express His love to us. And when we allow the flesh to control our thoughts, because why? We allow it because we don't have to, right? Every day we're in a battle, and you got to take every thought captive. And the Holy Spirit is always the one, the motive operandi, is that all they said? The one who's always directing us in the Word of God. You know, you get a dirty thought. No, that's from the flesh. That's not me. You know, thank you, Lord. I know that's not me. I got my focus on Lord. I'm not even thinking about that anymore. I get an angry thought. You know, I want to pop out at my wife. Nope. That's not me. I know where that's come from. See? Lord, thank you that the fruit of your spirit is love and patience and gentleness and meekness. See, we can't produce that stuff. You know, we can produce self-righteousness and, you know, even some people are very strong-willed. You know, some people can do some pretty fantastic things, but all of them will come to an end sooner or later. And when we come to an end of ourselves, you know, the end of our rope, let go and let God grab on and let Christ produce His life out of us. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And temperance. On the next verse, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Self-control. So it's the Holy Spirit who causes us to have self-control, who produces that love. That's what He's trying to do. God's trying to express that love. And if people don't see the love in us, I don't care how much you tell them God loves them. If they don't see it in you, they're not going to believe you. Because they see a lot of fake stuff out there. You know? But the thing is, we can't produce it. See, that's a wonderful thing. That's a freedom. I don't have to. All I have to do is depend and be available and stay beholding, right? What did we just read? As we behold Him, right? We're transformed. You know what that word transform? It's metamorphosized, like a caterpillar, right? You know, they go from a cocoon, this ugly little worm, he gets this cocoon, they might have some pretty colors, just like in the human race, there's some pretty people in that. But inward, they're nasty creatures, fallen creatures. And what happens? They go into a cocoon, and out comes what? A converted worm? No. Did you ever say, oh, as you see a butterfly, this beautiful free butterfly going around, look at that pretty converted worm. No, it's a new creation. That's us. In Christ, you're holy without blemish. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? And we're built to fly. Now, can a butterfly land on the ground and land on some stuff? Sure can. But does it make sense? And that's where the Holy Spirit takes the Word like a mirror and saying, who are you? I'm a butterfly, Lord. What are you acting like? An idiot. You know, we don't like to think we're dumb. You know, like to think, well, you know who made me do this, don't you, Lord? It's them, the snake, the woman you gave me. Let's go to, be closing up pretty soon. You know what? I went to the wrong verses anyway. Titus 2, 7 through 14. The last of the T books. This is why it's so important to understand grace, to rightly divide the word, because grace will teach us something. It's our motivator. It's our empower. By grace, what? The Holy Spirit is within us, right? You're saved by grace. You receive spiritual life by grace. When you're dead in your sins, what happened? God made you alive. We're in Christ. We're alive. And it's all by grace. And where do we find all these things? I mean, we'll, through the whole Word of God, you can learn things. Like when you go, you know, what's it mean to be in Christ? See the look on everybody's face. Ooh, I never thought of that one. Right? In Christ. There's some in the Old Testament that you can get an idea of. Do you remember the story of David and Goliath? David's only a 12-year-old kid. Perfect picture of someone not strong. Goliath is what? This huge dude, and he's got this armor that shines and makes him look bigger. Well, all Israel was afraid. They're way back here, and Saul, you know, great leader he is, he ain't out there doing nothing, right? All of a sudden, David comes to bring his, you know, some bologna sandwiches, some hillbilly steak, some Cook County steak to his brothers, right? And so he say, well, you know, what's going on, you know? And they tell him. But David had, even from a young age, had experience with God. He had faith in God. David was a man after God's own heart. And a man after God's own heart can make a mistake. David made a big one later. But he never turned away from the living God. The other, most all the other kings in Israel turned away from God or brought in idolatry. David never did. But anyway, he knew who God was. He had some experience right where he was at. He was a shepherd boy, right? And he goes, what? Now, when you got a war, why should you have everybody get killed? Right? So you pick one person that represents everybody. David said, I'll go. This young boy, but he had faith in God, right? And all Israel was in David. If David wins, they win. If David loses, he loses. And all the Philistines were in Goliath. Picture of, if you want, Satan. When David won, what happened? Israel won. When Christ died for us on the cross, he died as us and for us. David went up to fight Goliath as Israel and for Israel. Christ went. He had no sin of his own, right? So he dies our death. He becomes a man, one with us, so he could die our death. When we trust in him, we become one. We're in him. We're in his debt. We're in what he accomplished, forgiveness through his blood. He overcame sin. We're in him. We overcome sin because we're in him. He overcomes Satan, right? We overcome Satan because we're in him. We're transferred out of his kingdom. He ain't got none on us no more. And sometimes we walk as if we, you know why? A lot of time we don't know who we are in Christ. But that's a perfect example of being in Christ. And that's in the Old Testament. Yeah. There's a lot of things. Jonathan and David, they made a blood covenant. I ain't got time to get all into that. But anyway. Titus 2:7-14. In all things, Paul's writing Titus, and he's instructing him. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine. It's very important your doctrine's accurate and correct. You know, because if truth sets you free, then what does error do? It's going to put you in bondage. Showing uncorruptibleness, gravity, and sincerity. Says sound speech. You know what sound means? Healthy. Health giving. That's grace. Grace is healthy, man. That cannot be condemned. That he that is the contrary, that means opposes you, part, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. Exhort servants to... Why I went this high? Because I want you to see something. Grace teaches us in our everyday lives. to apply the grace of God and the Word of God to the details of our life. Exhort servants, slaves, to be obedient unto their masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but King James, something else, but showing all good fidelity. Listen to this, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The way we walk, the way we express ourselves can adorn the doctrine, or it can make people just wonder about it. You know, like if we're not walking in grace and we allow ourselves, because we never have to walk in the flesh, it doesn't adorn. That's why people go, them Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah. But when they see you, that you're learning as you're growing in grace to have a consistent walk. See, it's growing. It's not your... And before God, you're perfect. But our walk will never be that way until we get to heaven. But it can be, and it should be progressively as we grow in grace. And it will adorn the doctrine. See, it makes it attractive what you're sharing with people. Adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God... Now, you know how people say, oh, you're teaching that cheap grace? Just telling people, because you're teaching they're completely forgiven, God's not going to punish you. So what do they say? You're teaching them, just give them a license to sin. I never need a license, tell you the truth. And grace doesn't teach us that. Listen to this. They don't understand the grace of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. And I believe that's when Christ appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. I wouldn't fight anybody for it. But grace is here now. And what's it do? Teaching us. So what is it? Grace training or discipline. It's not just knowledge. See, it's application of that knowledge becomes wisdom. So as the Holy Spirit teaching us that denying ungodliness, so saying no to ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And why? What are we looking for? What's the purpose? One thing, it glorifies God, and I'll tell you another thing, you'll enjoy your Christian life. Because you'll have joy and peace and patience and self-control and all the things in between there, the fruits of the Spirit. And your life will have meaning. Like Paul says, I finished the race. What a wonderful thing to say at the end of your life, right? Do you want to, how you like say, hey, you know what? I was being used of God for years, but at the end, man, I wanted to go do what my flesh wanted to do. What a shame that would be, right? Or never to have, to be saved, but never to be serving God and growing. And at the end of your life, you'd think about all them things that I thought were so, gave me passion and gave me fulfillment, I thought, and at the end of your life, it's like, what, I wasted it. But may we be like Paul, who says, all the way to the end, right? We're in a race. It's called the grace race. So teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the rapture. Christ could be coming at any time. You say, well, you know, I know where the Holy Spirit's been convicting me on, but I'm going to wait a while because, you know where Paul talks in Galatians about throwing out the bondwoman and her son? He's talking about throwing out the law. Don't get self on law. And know what her son is? The flesh. But we like to be, didn't Abraham love that little guy? He was entertaining to him. He was cute. And we like them things of the flesh a lot of times. There's a lot of different areas in our life that the flesh can be entertaining. You know, and he said, throw them out. You know, what's to say? Cast off, right? And put on Christ. So the idea is Christ, let Christ be expressed. Let him adorn himself through you to others. And looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's a perfect verse right there of Christ's deity, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, he wants us to give ourselves to him, offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Why? Who gave himself for us. He gave his all for us. Now, I'm not going to offer him my abilities and everything I can do. All I'm going to say is, here I am, Lord. You know, and I can be myself. Express yourself through me. Everything I am. You know, everything I am in you. Just express. Touch people. You know, like when I come here, I'm like, Lord, don't let me think about myself. Let me look at the people out here and edify and let them be built up. And then as we're growing in grace and knowledge, people applying, and then it goes out and out and out. Who gave himself for us. And here's the purpose. Not just to save us, and then, so we, you know, all right, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. No. That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God wants, what? We're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, right? Not by works. I mean, get that clear, right? Otherwise, you're going to try and save yourself. And that's what most religion, that's what all religions actually do, man-made religion. But it says we're God's workmanship created under good works, right? So God wants to do good works through us, but who's doing it? We're his workmanship. He's doing the work. It is God who works in you what? Both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. That's what I'm saying. It's got to be him producing it. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise them. I'm just going to do two more because we started a bit late. Just to show you how Christ made his humanity available to the Father. John 5:30. Who says we don't get into the Gospels? You know, mid-Ex dispensationalists accused of never studying anything but Paul's epistles. Not true. John 5:30. Now this is Jesus who is God, right? He was with God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then what happened? And the Word became flesh. John 1:14. But Jesus didn't come to live as God. He chose not to use his godly abilities. Why? In a way, he's shown us something. This is a true man. Jesus was true man also. He was God, but he came to live as a man. And he made his humanity available to the Father, and the Father expressed himself through him. Look what he says. I can of my own self do nothing. Why? Because if he came to live as God, how could we learn what true man was created for? As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own, but the will of the Father which sent me. So, what did he say? Now, as God, he could have did all the miracles, right? But no, he made his humanity available to the Father. And what did the Father do? Mighty things through him. Now, let's go to, this will be the last, John 14, starting in verse 6. We're going to go to 6 to 12. And I promise I will close. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So everyone who said there's many ways to God, I'm sorry. There ain't. If Jesus is the way, then what are all other ways, non-ways? If you had known me, you should have known my Father. He's talking to what they call doubting Thomas. But, you know, we kind of get down on Thomas, but we should ask questions if we're not sure. And God doesn't mind that. He says, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Thomas is probably thinking, when did I ever see God? Right? Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus, now he brings the other guys in with him, you know, so I'm not the only one wondering about this stuff. Like if you go to a pastor, there's a lot of us wondering, you know, about this. and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been with you? Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father? Remember that? He's in the Father and the Father is in Him. They're one, right? What are we? We're in Christ and Christ is in us. We're one just like them. God is in us. The Holy Spirit's in us. We are one. What a fantastic... It's almost mind-boggling, isn't it? How could God be in me? Because you were created for His container, a temple of the Holy Spirit. So He says, Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. So Christ is saying, He made His humanity available to the Father, and what did the Father do? He expressed Himself through Christ. We could not know God if not for Christ, and through the Word, we can know creation, His power, but personally, no. And so, when Christ just depended on the Father, He made His humanity available to the Father, and the Father would express Himself out of Him. It's a beautiful thing. He's showing us, as what Paul say? Now we're getting back to Paul. In view of God's mercy, you know that can be interpreted loving kindness. I was hearing somebody say that today. Hopefully it was true. In view of God's mercy or His loving kindness, offer your bodies. Christ offered His body, right? And the Father expressed Himself. And be transformed, what? By the renewing of you. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't think like this world thinks. Don't selfish and me, my, I. But Christ gave, right? And if you want your life to make a difference, make your humanity available to the Father, and Christ in you will express Himself out of you, and at the end of your life you can say, wow. You know, I wasn't perfect, but man, God did some wonderful things. And when you can look back and see how God's touched different people through your life and ministry, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, that you give us the privilege to be the temple of your Holy Spirit, to be the container of the life of Christ. And Lord, we're broken containers, but the light can shine best through broken things. And though we're whole in Him, as we depend on you, Lord, you can do some more than we can ever ask, think, imagine, abundantly more. And I just pray, Father, that these lessons would just take deep root in our hearts, that we would learn to walk in your Spirit, learn to make a difference in this life because you made a difference in ours. Help us to be like Paul, realize we're in a race, a grace race. Help us to say no to sin that we might run for the gold, Father, that sin nature. And thank you that you've empowered us by the cross for that. Thank you that you've forgiven us of all of our sins, past, present, and future. And you've given us resurrection life, eternal life. And that this is one time we can praise you and honor you more, Father, than all the eternity when we're in heaven, because we got to completely just depend on you now to live this life. Christ in us, that your Holy Spirit producing it out of us. So thank you for the privilege. Help us to look at every temptation as an opportunity to apply your grace, to walk in your Spirit, and that we can share that same wonderful truth with others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So thank you all for coming out, and hopefully get a little fellowship in. Let me shut this off. Make sure I do it right.